Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to plagiarize a massive paper just as you're about to graduate? Neither are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Really bad. Really bad. Yeah, I'll tell you.
It's the bad place.
We're in the bad place. I always knew I would end up there. I don't know if you've ever seen The Good Place.
But oh, yeah, I have. I love it.
I don't know if I would ever get enough points to actually wind up in The Good Place, but we're definitely in the bad place.
This is the bad place. And here's the situation, folks. We're going to lay out the lay of the land here, okay? Yeah. This show is driving us crazy. Like, it is. They're doing things that are just so bad all the time. And it's awful. So we had a meeting and said, we're going to cover two episodes this week.
Yes.
One, because we desperately need to get through season four. And two, because I will be away next weekend. And so the scheduling kind of worked out that way. Don't worry. We're still mostly going to be covering episodes solo, or one at a time, basically, for the remainder. But today we're covering two episodes. So if you play on this podcast and didn't realize that we're going to be talking about episodes 15 and 16, we're going to kind of talk about them separately. So you could probably pause down somewhere in the middle or whatever, but just letting you know in case any spoilery sort of things come up. 15 and 16, The Paper Chase and Ben Don't Leave. We're going to be talking about them both today, Sarah.
That's so considerate of you, Jessica, to give a heads up.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin people's day. Like, if they are watching along with us and don't want to be spoiled, I don't want them to be spoiled. I just have to let the people know that Felicity, both the show and the character, on my last nerve right now. Because what are we doing here?
Yeah, Felicity, the character, is literally the stupidest fucking idiotic bitch that I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Like, I have never been so infuriated with a character in a good hot while. And it's not even because she cheated. Yes, that was stupid. It wasn't that. I think that what sent me over the edge was when she dropped the book in the trash right in front of the librarian.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I am furious. Of all the things that every character did in this episode to piss me off, because we need to, like, step by step, okay? Mm-hmm. Felicity cheats, right? Whatever, who cares? I care, but whatever. She goes then is like, have to destroy the evidence. Okay, I have to go get this thesis from the library and destroy it. And by destroy it, what I'm going to do is walk into a crowded library where a ton of people are just hanging around. I will take said thesis, which is a fairly thick book, drop it from a great height into a trash can so that it makes a ton of noise and draws attention to the fact that I just threw out a book in the library and she gets caught. Shocking. Shocking.
I don't even care. Okay. Like, so we could back it up a little bit. Felicity is in this art history class with Megan, never seen them before in an art history class, but out of nowhere, they're in an art history class. Jane Lynch is the teacher. We don't like Jane Lynch because, number one, she was mean to Pacey. Number two, she said female podcasters have grating voices. We have beef with Jane Lynch for years and years and years. So that's number one. Whenever I see Jane Lynch on my screen, I'm like, this bitch is on my shit list. And
yeah,
also,
I immediately get annoyed because I don't want to watch her because I'm annoyed by her. And also, she's never had a different haircut in like 30 years.
Never.
Which is just kind of wild. Like, I don't know if it's impressive or just like change it up every once in a while.
Actually, I don't know if I've had a different haircut in 30 years, but
in 30 years,
you probably.
That's insane. There's no way that's true.
No, there was one time I got bangs.
And your hair was dark for a hot second.
Oh, we're not. Oh, yeah. Like, I've dyed my hair, but
I just mean like generally change your hair.
Yeah. And furthermore, maybe Jane Lynch is the one with the grating voice. Has she ever considered that?
Has she ever considered that her ears don't work properly? Because maybe that's the problem.
I mean, we're low grading. Yeah. It's fine. But anyway, so she's the teacher and they have to write this big, how many page?
30-page paper.
Never had and to
Felicity
do that.
Felicity is like, I'm going to wait till the night before. And her reasoning, which maybe makes sense to some people, but didn't make any sense to me, was I've been so stressed out about Ben having a baby that I haven't worked on this.
Yeah.
And Megan is an idiot also and gives terrible fucking advice of like, go steal one from the thesis thing. And also, like, again, destroy the evidence. Like, if you're there that late at the library, put that thesis in your book bag and walk on out with it. Like, why did you leave it at the library?
It should be an intuitive thing, right? Like, most people that commit crimes try to cover up the crime. And it's just like human nature, you know, to try to bury things, but not Felicity because she's the stupidest person in the entire world. I do like how I think that the guy that Megan said does this all the time and like has only gotten caught once. I think that this is the same man. I forget his name. It's Eddie or something with an E. He has been like a reoccurring, like my friend blank for seasons, which I do appreciate. We're going to complain a lot about, I guess, like consistency with the characters, continuity, but I do like how that is like a little Easter egg. Like, she's mentioned that Ernest, something.
I think it's Eddie because she remember she went out with that Eddie that one time, but he was a douchebag, so maybe it wasn't him.
Something with an E. I do like that, but I'm not even mad at Felicity because you know what the thing about cheating? Because you know what? Sometimes you have to beg, cheat, and steal in this world. Sometimes we are in a bad spot and sometimes we have to do a little cheaties. I guarantee you like 90% of the work that is handed into colleges these days are written by ChatGPT. I don't know. We didn't have that option back in the day. But if I had the option to, I don't know, find a random paper in a book or go do shit from ChatGPT, I probably would have done it too. I'm not even mad at her that she cheated. It was stupid. It's stupid to not hide the evidence. And it's stupid to not like anticipate that it's going to be so easily clocked.
Well, I totally agree with you because while I think I understand the like, wow, I have no time, I'm just going to cheat okay, sure. But one, cover your tracks if you're going to cheat, right? Yeah. Two, I feel like you should at least somewhat read what you're then copying, because if someone like quizzes you on it, like, first of all, don't pick something that is so good that it will get published.
Like, I know.
Don't the other thing that is so, so, so well written that you're going to get accolades for it. Shoot for like a B, you know, like aim for a C, aim for something attainable.
Attainable.
So that was also really fucking stupid.
This is the craziest thing, because you know, this is not like nowadays where you could copy and paste. Felicity literally had to transcribe from the book.
Yes. Onto,
if you're putting that much effort into it, then change some shit around.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Make it
paragraphs.
Make yourself a little stupider.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, if you're going to cheat, I really hope she didn't do it word for word. I would have, like, that would have been, or like, it's your new topic is Monet. Like, I think that her original thought was like Georgia O'Keeffe. She couldn't find a dissertation that aligned with that. Like, take multiple. I don't know. I don't know why I'm justifying the cheating thing. It was just stupid.
It's so, just dumb. The entire storyline, the entire situation, it's all stupid.
It's stupid.
All stemming from her stressors with Ben and the baby, yeah. Because Ben gets an ultrasound photo, which like obviously makes it a little more real, right? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, the kid has a face now. Like, it's actually happening. And Ben is making efforts to be more involved in Lauren's life, and because he's like, well, if I'm involved, maybe she won't move to Arizona. So he's like trying to fix Felicity's computer, which I feel like these people have so many computer issues every single episode. And he gets distracted because Lauren calls because she wants him to attend Lamaze classes with mm-hmm. him. This is the most 90s storyline that has ever existed. Every person on every show that's pregnant goes to Lamaze class.
You could still go to Lamaze class. It's not like it doesn't exist anymore. But
I feel like absolutely. I can watch every television show and learn how to Lamaze breathe without paying however much money it costs.
Yeah, like we all know that. I also got annoyed with Felicity for this, because twofold, like, she, a couple of episodes, she encouraged him to be involved in the baby's life. She said, this is not you to not be. And then to get jealous that he is looking at the baby with like awe or interest or like emotion. It's like kind of insulting that, like,
I think part of it is she's like resentful of how much their lives are going to change because of this baby. And like, yes, exactly. Like, break up with Ben if you don't want your life to change. Like, I'm sorry, but there's really a few options, and one of them is breaking up with him. And she doesn't want to do that. So sorry, you're going to have to deal with the fact that now he's got a girl pregnant and Lauren is a part of your life, whether you like it or not, because her and your boyfriend are having a baby together.
Yeah. And that is absolutely correct. And if it's something that Felicity is not comfortable with, understood. Like, truly, I understand that. Like, I, especially at 21 years old, cannot imagine being in a relationship with a person that has a child / like your active boyfriend. Like, it's a lot, but then you have to leave the situation, which is also valid. Sucks for everybody involved as well. So, and I like really can't fault Ben for wanting to be going to the Lamaze class or looking at the ultrasound. And it's such a bad situation for him as well to have to like try to hide these things from Felicity.
Yeah.
It's just so bad. And it is so, so, so obvious that these people don't have the emotional capacity to A, be in a relationship, B, be a father / stepmother respectively.
Yeah. They're not ready for this. And this is what causes Felicity to like feel like she needs to cheat because she's behind and she's like distracted and all this other stuff. So that's what's going on with Felicity and Ben. And we also find out that towards the end of the episode, Lauren is moving to Arizona no matter what. Like, she's getting out, which I was good. Like, good. Go to Arizona, please. This is the move.
Yeah. But then they made this decision that then they're Ben and Felicity will not be going to Arizona. Right. Which right. I just feel like I feel bad for Lauren in this particular episode, in this one only, because he's really jerking her around. And
yeah,
I think that what Lauren says in the second episode is really valid. Like Ben and Felicity are uber selfish and self-centered because.
Well, it's yeah, because Felicity, I think, should be taken out of this equation altogether. Right. Like, even though she is the reason Ben is so against moving, because yeah. Let's face it, if Felicity's out of the picture, and there's the choice of like, okay, I can go to med school in New York, or I could go to med school in Arizona and be near my baby. Like, I think he would choose Arizona. I think Felicity is the only reason he's not going. And I don't think that's on Felicity to make that decision to say, you should go. I think that's on Ben to be like, I have to go.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But I don't think that Ben is communicating this shit with Lauren. So then Lauren is just sitting there trying to make up stories or figure out what's happening. And I think that from her perspective, she is probably making the assumption that Felicity is like strong arming Ben to stay in New York, or yeah. So, which is not the case. Like, the truth is that both Ben and Felicity are like the most wishy-washy people in the universe, both of them combined. But I really dislike how Ben is going back and forth with Lauren. Like, I'm going to come. No, I'm not. Maybe you should stay in New York. Actually, you should go. Like, I can make you stay, but the lawyer says that I don't think I'll win the case. So it's
of just course like, you won't win the case, you idiot. Like, this is insane. Like, yeah, I don't know. I can't explain to you the level of like frustration and anger I had whenever anyone kept talking about like, I'm going to go to a lawyer, and like, I'm sorry, but like, you are 21 years old. This woman should go to Arizona. Like, you yeah. are the one being selfish. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it really truly is. It really is. It's like, it's so just frustrating to watch the whole thing. And I think I continue to be on like nobody's side throughout this whole stuff. Like,
yeah.
Especially as things evolve in 416.
Mm-hmm.
But to finish out the plagiarism storyline for the first half, mm-hmm. I was so, it's once again such like a TV thing to be like, oh, you have to go to the teacher, the professor, the principal's office, whatever. Oh no, Felicity got caught. But I totally called it. I was like, this is a golden orchid situation. If you don't know what golden orchid is, in Pretty Little Liars, the book and the series, Spencer Hastings, who is typically a really brilliant student, mm-hmm. was really stressed out about something going on. And she, too, stole her sister's award-winning paper on, like, Russian literature. Long story short, she gets nominated for this award because it was such mm-hmm. a good paper. And basically, you know, she thinks that she's getting in trouble, but in actuality, she is nominated and then I think later on wins the Golden Orchid. And that's exactly what this shit is. This is a Golden Orchid situation. And essentially, the Jane Lynch is like, your paper is the most brilliant paper that I've ever read. I would like to nominate it. I think it's at this time Felicity should really be like, thanks, but no thanks.
But then
like also, I guess like maybe that's like suspicious. So no, I don't really know.
I think this is the point. I think if you're going to be stealthy about destroying the evidence, then you're fine. But if you're not going to do that, or if you get caught doing that, the move is to own up now. Own up now before they submit it to be like an award-winning paper, because mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, I think there are moments where I feel like these were the opportunities that were missed.
That's and correct.
This is
one of them, but honestly, okay. So Felicity is a senior. She essentially has like half a semester left of school and then she's supposed to be graduating. Mm-hmm. What do you think it depends on like how she owns up to it. She can try to explain to the professor, these are my situations. This is what's going on. My life is in a crisis. I did something that's super out of character. Can I please rewrite the paper? And then at the minimum, you can give me a C. Like if I get like if this is like A quality work, then give me a C, you know? Yeah. And then if anything else, you like fail me. Then you have to beg and hope that Jane Lynch won't escalate it to the deans or to the advisory board. Right. I think that she thinks that there is like absolutely no hope in that. So she just like doesn't. She's like, oh my gosh, if I admit it, I'm not gonna be able to graduate. I'm gonna have to like retake this class. I'm gonna have to like stay an extra semester or do summer classes, which is probably more likely. And honestly, if she has to retake this class during the summer, then she can still walk in the spring, which actually she might, that is probably maybe what's going to happen. Like, I know that she's
still going to graduate for sure.
She's going to graduate. She's going to walk, but I wouldn't be surprised if she has to retake that class in the summer.
If she's lucky. Yeah, maybe. I do think though that like this is the moment. This is the time that you own up to it. And there's just 0% chance in my mind that Felicity doesn't graduate. Like there's no shot that she's gonna have to stay a whole year. I think you're right. If anything, she'll do a summer.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, but there has to be some, especially because how it escalated.
But you're right. We'll talk about that in episode 6. But we'll talk through that whole thing because there are no consequences for literally anybody on this show ever. So we'll see.
The stakes couldn't be lower. Yeah. So we end this episode with Felicity getting told that she has to go. Somebody from the committee of somebody recognize the paper. She has to go into this meeting, cite her sources. Jane Lynch is like, this is stupid. I know that you didn't do anything, which is another opportunity where Felicity.
This is the second opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're hearing from your professor, I've stood up for you. I believe you. Like, you don't want to make this woman look like a fool, you know? Like, that's going to be so much worse for you.
Yeah. Which she winds up feeling. So that's the Felicity. I was gooped and gagged. Like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And not even like, there's times where Noel does stuff where I'm like, this fucking moron idiot, I love it. Like, I love the mess. This was just stupid. You know
what
I mean?
This was dumb, and I hate cheating storylines. Like, they give me such anxiety.
Yeah.
I really hate this. I hate the thought of someone, like, being in trouble for cheating and plagiarizing and all that stuff because it is a very serious thing, which I do think, like, Megan just is, like, what world, what planet do you live on where you think this isn't a big deal? Like, even in the 90s, early aughts, this was still a big deal. Like, it's more of a big deal now, I'd say, than it even was then. But, like, it was still a big deal to plagiarize.
I think that she is just, I don't know. We hear so many of these storylines. Like, I've heard so many times in, like, Greek storylines, college storylines, there's a place, a safe somewhere, a filing cabinet somewhere with every single paper and every single test ever written that is at access. Like, it is, like, I hear it so much. Or there's some dude that, like, is selling papers if you call this mysterious number. Like, I've heard that a billion times. I think it's just, like, one of those storylines. I just don't feel like a season 1, 2, 3 Felicity would ever do this. It's terrible. It's like this girl got a lobotomy and it's like she's totally different who she was. The disconnect is so apparent in this season that it's insulting to the show. It's insulting to the character Felicity in the first couple seasons and insulting to us as the viewers for putting up with this.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's that. Anything? Okay. So Noel is fucking around with Zoe, who so looks like the other blonde bitches.
Literally just Ruby. But the main thing with Noel this episode is that Sean sucks at his job. And because Noel is the one who, like, brought him into the job, the boss is like, listen, get your partner straight or we're going to fire him because he's dumb and he sucks at sales. And Sean is, here's the thing. At this point in the show, I truly feel like we have taken a piece of someone's personality.
Yeah.
And like, we have made them a caricature of who they are, who they once were on the show, because he has this like Phelps thing of like, oh, you a firm handshake and then lean in or like some eye contact, I think. Mm-hmm. And then it was all stupid. And like, he's so obviously making people uncomfortable, and it is very frustrating to watch them like make Sean into like a cartoon character at this point.
Yeah, we have that same as that complaint with the last season of Boy Meets World, where everybody was just like a caricature of themselves. I don't remember if I know we felt that way about Corey. I know that we felt that way about Eric to a lesser extent, Topanga. I think Sean was the only one throughout the entire series that I felt like stayed pretty consistent unto himself. So I think it's, and I can think to Friends as well. Like, I think that like how stupid they made Joey, or like how like Ross's decisions were really stupid in the last season of Friends too. He just was like an idiot. The only thing that I liked about Ross in the last season of Friends was when he said margaritas.
Everything's fine.
Because it's so me coded.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I'm going to make fajitas.
That's actually like my favorite Ross lines as well.
But really?
Truly.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It cracks me up. And like, for it to be in the final season is like pretty incredible, especially because, But anyway.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with Sean and Noel. And like, Sean takes this so poorly. Noel is trying to do his best to like not talk to Sean about this, which seems short-sighted. Like, you at least need to say to him, hey, you need to pivot in your tactics. But instead, he just tries to like brush it under the rug. And Sean, being Sean, takes over the room as always. And yeah, it's Sean quits because he's being a big stupid baby about the whole situation. Luckily, he's able to get his job back at the very end. But it's just like so frustrating. I don't know. I'm very, very frustrated by this. Noel has a decent episode, but honestly, it's more because everyone else is so awful that like, by comparison, Noel isn't that bad. But like, if Noel would have a better episode if he, I don't know, had a conversation with Sean about this instead he like waits until he gets to a boiling point and he just like blows up on him.
It's pretty awkward because the boss does not want to have this direct conversation with Sean, because he says that if he gets into a meeting with Sean, he's going to wind up firing him. So he puts this onto Noel, which, and actually, like, it's not like Noel is Sean's supervisor. They're kind of at equal levels. I want to know, like, who is the supervisor of Noel and Sean? Because it shouldn't be the CEO of the company, you would think. Yeah. Or maybe not CEO, but like main partner of the design firm. So I found it like, I don't know, really silly. Unfair to
this people. Happens on TV all the time. I feel like this actually happened with Felicity, where it was like, we're gonna fire you because of like someone else, and it made no sense. And this happens on TV all the time, where it's like, this isn't how this works. Like, just fire the person who's the problem. What are we doing?
I do like how Noel, I know that Noel gets frustrated, but I also appreciate that his first instincts is like, no, like, Sean's my partner. We come as a pair. I mean, I think that he should abandon the ship, but I do like his loyalty. And I like how like Sean, he accuses Noel of being disloyal, but after having a conversation with that boss, he takes it back and apologizes. And I thought that was like a nice moment.
Noel was loyal to me. It's like, yeah, Dick, like, why don't you like give him the benefit of the doubt that he was trying to help you out?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. The last storyline in this episode was so awful. It aged so poorly. Basically, Javier and Rita are hanging out. Turns out Rita has a new boyfriend, and so she wants Javier to meet him. Javier seems a little jealous in the beginning anyway, because like, oh, Rita's found someone, but he hasn't found someone yet. And when he meets her new boyfriend, he immediately is like, oh no, I know this guy because he dated a guy I know. They can't, he, what is this? People must be either gay or straight. There's no in between. It was, it aged so poorly because then Javier doesn't talk to Rita about it, doesn't talk to it. Well, he waits a really long time to talk to Rita's new boyfriend about it, who denies it. And then Rita's new boyfriend like breaks up with Rita because I guess he is gay and like was using her as like a beard or something. But it's like, people can be bisexual. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, it was really awkward because he did tell Rita, and Rita was like kind of mean to him. Like, you know, you're jealous of me, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing was like pretty silly once again. I feel like if we made it like, I don't know, at least kind of witty, like kind of funny, like, oh, that's actually my twin. Like, I'm a identical twin or something, you know, like I felt like it, I don't know, it just felt just so such a waste of time. Like,
it really was. This is what I'm talking about when I say we don't need Javier to have his own storylines, because like, wow, what a waste of space that storyline was.
Yeah, totally.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
All right, well, that's episode 15, The Paper Chase. So if that is all you've seen of Felicity, hit pause here and then come back. And we're going to talk about Ben Don't Leave, which is episode 16. So I'll give you a second to go watch the episode. Okay, now that you've watched the episode, this fucking episode, what
it was
are
awful. You? It was so bad. It was just so stupid. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Where do you want to start? Because I feel like all of it was just god awful.
Yeah. And
really stupid.
Can we please just get the Richard Elena stuff out of the way?
Oh, I hated first? That. That's not even the first thing that comes to mind. But like when you do, it's like, okay, you know what? We haven't used two of our main characters, Richard and Elena, in a while. Let's just throw them together, put them into a situation that has no character development. Well, some character development.
No character development. All we're doing is being like, hey, have you noticed Elena's black and she only hangs out with white folks?
Okay.
Like, that's truly what it feels like. They were we haven't done this yet.
I know, but like, I think it's almost interesting. I think it's not well done because why would it be? I think that's an interesting conversation to have, to see like Elena be. It would have been so much more interesting if she had it with Tracy or with Devon. Was that his name? With Keenan.
Oh, I don't remember his character's name.
It would have been so much more interesting if she had that conversation with a black boyfriend of like, why or her father. Why are you hanging out all with white people? Hey, I didn't really notice that. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that I was always ashamed growing up. Like, that's a very interesting, compelling, probably relatable storyline. Obviously, you and I are like the whitest bitches that ever lived, but I could watch that and like appreciate it, because in a lesser extent, like, I can relate to that, because I was one of three Jewish kids in my school. Like, I always felt different and I always wanted to like hide that part of me away. Like, if I had that storyline a season two ago, I would be like, wow, I really relate to Elena. Like, I'm like feeling like these like feelings of compassion towards her. Instead, they did some like sort of bullshit where Richard was like said something really inappropriate. There was a black eye situation. Then he's like, I almost think it was interesting when Richard was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you always wanted to like fit in everywhere. I always wanted to be different. I'm just like a basic bitch. Like, I did almost appreciate that. Just like everything in the middle was so not well done that it was just like, it just felt like we need to include these two because we haven't in a bit. Let's create a storyline, but they have nothing in common. They haven't hung out in four seasons. What can we do? I don't know. Some sort of like bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if this conversation that Elena had, even if they wanted to do the Richard invites Elena to this party because she's black and he thinks it'll give him clout or like make him look like accepting or whatever, right? Then have Elena have the following conversation with another person of color. Like, because what ends up happening is we get Richard trying to defend himself and argue that he's not racist and I have black friends and all the other normal, like, or excuse me, not normal, like this routine shit that we hear in this sort of a storyline, instead of giving voice to the people of color and hearing their thoughts and opinions on the matter. Instead, they have to coddle the people that should fucking know better. You know, like, no. I'm sorry, Richard deserved to be punched in the face. Like, you're an absolute asshole. Like, first of all, the fact that you even dragged Elena along on this like quote unquote date and then only to use her to get with some other person is already pretty despicable and disgusting. And then to make matters worse, it's because she's black. Like, yeah, you deserve to be punched in the face full on. Like, poor Elena is put in the situation where she has to sit there and listen to this fucking idiot's apology. Like, it's just like so frustrating, because we have not gotten, I don't know, like, we've gotten like two storylines from Elena this entire season. Mm-hmm. And now this is the storyline we're giving her? Like, are you kidding me? Like, way to make her the token black character on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Sure does,
but like, we're just like, we're really showing it now, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely lazy. Like, absolutely. It's just like, how can we slot these two people in? I don't know. I don't think this was it. And like, maybe if you didn't make Elena's storyline completely revolve around school or men, like, maybe she would have more to work with throughout the rest of the series. But it's kind of like, well, she got into med school, check, we can't really do anything there. She's not really dating anybody, but that's fine. It's just like, I don't know. It's pretty
stupid. Yeah. It's just very frustrating. Like, and again, we are the whitest chicks around. Like, it's not, we can't really speak to a lot of like Elena's experiences, but it's just very frustrating when like that is the sole story that she's getting.
But like, I do think it's interesting, but I don't think it's interesting how they did it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just wish that they gave her more breathing room to explore that storyline, not have it be like a one episode thing and then just tie it up in a cute little bow. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk through Noel and Sean and Zoe, because Sean decides again to be super annoying this episode because he's like, oh, my God, it's just like, oh, the beginning of relationships is the best part because you're just fucking all the time. Megan and I obviously don't fuck anymore, and I'm just going to complain about it. And I'm going to point out that you must have flaws in your relationship because you haven't fucked yet. And it's like, what the fuck, Sean? Like, and then he makes matters so much worse by, like, through hearsay being like, yeah, that guy over there, that's Zoe's ex. And he's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he's wrong. Like, it's a lot of, like, hearsay. Like, he said, she said, I heard from this other person in the office. And he's wrong. And once again, it's just like, I don't really care about Zoe because I just met her a couple of episodes ago. And obviously I know that Noel's not going to end up with Zoe. So, like, why should I give a shit about it? But anyway, we're, like, doing this shit with Zoe. They're not sleeping together. So
it's been like, what, 3 weeks or something? Like, there's a disagreement about how long it actually was because there was that, like, they weren't official right away or whatever, right? But let's say they've been dating 2 or 3 weeks. That does not feel like a super long amount of time to be like, oh my God, why haven't we had sex yet?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a long time.
No, some people, like, take longer, and it's totally fine. It's like whatever people are comfortable with. I don't think Noel, I mean, maybe Noel, like, was wanting it, but I'm not quite sure.
I really didn't. And I know we were supposed to read it as, like, romantic, but Noel showing up late at night, like, this is like the early aughts version of, like, a booty call. Except it's the reverse booty call. It's just like a show up and want sex call.
Yeah.
Noel brings wine, ice cream, all this other stuff. You could say that it's a kind thing to do, but when you have an ulterior motive of seeing if someone wants to fuck you when you bring over these things, it is not romantic. Like, it's manipulative and not good.
Oh, you're saying that Noel Crane is manipulative? That is a revolutionary thing to say.
It's just so frustrating. Like, because again, they want you to think that this is romantic, but it's not. He's testing her. He's like, if I show up late enough and ply her with wine and ice cream, will she open her legs for me? It's sick. It's, like, disgusting. And it puts Zoe in the most uncomfortable situation where she is then forced to defend why she doesn't want to have sex with him yet. And, like, divulge information that maybe she was waiting to say, you know, maybe she was, like, not wanting to discuss the fact that she was on antidepressants. Like, truly, like, I'm just saying, like, this give this girl some breathing space.
This is also crazy because it's very 90s and, like, mental health. Like, she was like, I didn't want to have sex because I was depressed, and I didn't want to be on medication because medication is bad. Now I'm going to go back on medication, and then I'll probably want to have sex. It's like, okay.
And here's the thing. The funniest thing is like, antidepressants are notorious for making you lose your libido.
Yeah.
So, like, it's hysterical because, like, sure, yes, depression would also impact that. Like, I'm not trying to say that it wouldn't, but it's very funny to me that she's like, well, what's the antidepressant? Kick in. And also the fact that she just seemingly, it seems like she's like, I met Noel, I was happy, I stopped taking my antidepressants, like, what, cold turkey, girl? Calm down. Like, Jesus Christ, that's so horrible. Don't do that. I mean,
like, that's pretty nutty too. Like, can you imagine being like, okay, I'm gonna start with antidepressants, anti-anxiety, and then the moment you feel, like, better because it's, like, kicking in, you're like, okay, I'm off of it because I fixed myself. It's like,
and that is, like, a common sentiment with, specifically with prescriptions that are for mental health, right? Like, it's really common to be like, oh, I'm feeling so much better, maybe I don't need these anymore. That is a common thing. Like, that is a thing that does happen. But it is wild that it is like, I was feeling the roller coaster of, like, meeting Noel, going off antidepressants, and then them being out of your system long enough to then feel depressed again and realize you need to go back on them. Like, this timeline does not make sense. Like, there's no way this happens in this time.
Yeah. I can't even. I really can't.
Her poor body. I'm just saying, like, going those types of medications, or I should say on a personal note, right? Like, I don't know how it impacts other people's bodies. I just know how it has impacted me. Mm-hmm. And, like, building up a dose and then weaning back down a dose is, like, a little bit of a hellish experience on your body when you're trying to, like, get onto or off of a medication. There is, like, an adjustment period. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, usually involving, like, some systemic stuff. Like, you feel off. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. So it's crazy to, like, cold turkey a med and then go back on it. Like, it's absolutely nuts. And I just was like, what are we doing here? Sarah, can I tell you where I thought this storyline was going? Because yes,
please.
I thought, based on what little we know about Zoe's history, right? We knew she had a bad experience with someone who was like in love with someone else, and that it caused her to like end up in the hospital, like she was depressed or something, right? And the fact that she and Noel hadn't had sex yet, I was thinking, this girl has been assaulted. Like, I was thinking she has had a bad sexual experience. Maybe not even assault, but like a bad sexual experience that has led her to not want to do it right away or do it with someone she really trusts or whatever, whatever, you know?
It would be insane for the show to actually do something intelligent or like interesting or thought provoking or anything along those lines. You know, I think that that would be once again something that is incredibly relatable. A lot of people, sadly, would be able to connect to. I think that that could be well written, but we don't. I don't know who's writing this. Like, I don't know if like we got like the monkeys at the zoo to write these scripts like with their little typewriters. But the whole thing is like pretty fucked, actually. It's stupid. I'm sorry that we keep saying it's stupid. It's stupid.
But it is. But it is. We're not the ones writing these storylines. We just have to consume them. Like it. And a lot of this stuff is like very frustrating because it's either out of character or it's just like it's so obvious the show has just run out of runway and they're just, you know, building the brick they go.
They're gassed. They're absolutely
gassed. Yeah, this is exhausting. Are you ready to talk about Felicity and Lauren and Ben and all this fun stuff?
Yes, I am. I mean, this was crazy too, because oh my god. At first I was like, Felicity's being a cunty bitch, and I don't say that word often. I really don't. The fact that she was like, Ben, you're going to help Lauren move a few boxes. How dare you? I was like, you fucking bitch and a half.
She's like super pregnant. You can't lift things.
I was like, she is so pregnant. There is nothing to be jealous of. There's nothing to feel insecure about. He's just helping her. And if my husband was like, you know what? I don't want to help this person that's pregnant because you might be jealous. I would be like, that's terrible. You know, like that's awful. Yeah. You need to help her. Like, please help her.
Yeah.
Please
I very much started out the episode on Lauren's side. In fact, I specifically said, I love how over Felicity Lauren is. Lauren is like, fuck you, Felicity. And like, sure, none of this is Felicity's fault, right? Like, Felicity is the extraneous piece. Like, it's not Felicity's fault that Ben won't move to Arizona. That's on Ben. It's not Felicity's fault that, like, you slept with her boyfriend when they weren't together, and now he's back together with her. It is Felicity's fault that she is being quite the asshole to Lauren occasionally this episode. But then, this is fucking insane. So Ben is supposed to be helping Lauren move because she's moving to Arizona, right? Like she's leaving like the next day or some shit. And she comes and she tells Felicity this information at Dean and DeLuca, which is hysterical. So Ben goes there to help her move and they get into a car accident. So back in the early aughts, it was like, you couldn't find out any information. So Felicity is just stuck there. Like, I have no idea if Ben is dead or what the situation is, but I don't know. He's in surgery. That's all she got. She's in surgery. Okay.
Yeah. So what? She rushes to the hospital and that's all she gets because like she's not family. But then it's like, where's Ben's dad? Like we couldn't get John Ritter.
Hello. John Ritter and his freaking wife are supposed to be in New York City. Where the hell is John Ritter?
It's like, oh, he's too busy. It's like Ben spent every single fucking day at his father's hospital room and his mother's hospital room. But they can't be
but no bothered. One cares if he dies. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Ridiculous. So,
but eventually they let her in, I guess, when he's out of surgery. But this was crazy. I was like, are we really doing like a Ben is like gone to a massive car accident is like on death's door.
He lost a lot of blood.
No, I know he wasn't gonna die.
Like there should have been a different character in peril because maybe there would have been a chance that he was gonna die. But like we knew Ben wasn't gonna die. But the real shock and awe moment was
crazy.
So Felicity does see Lauren, who mostly just looks like she got like a hurt in the face somehow.
It's always the driver that gets less hurt than the passenger.
Yeah. And so Felicity's chatting with her and the doctor comes in and he's like, oh, we need some privacy. Let me just shut this curtain that is not soundproof. And then he says,
this is so funny. It's the funniest thing. Why do doctors in like everywhere, I don't know, TV show, but also in real life, they're like, this paper thin curtain with openings below and above is going to give us privacy and nobody's going to hear that. It's like, excuse me, miss, but here's this life altering information, but don't worry, nobody else can hear. Like the person that you share a hospital room with is definitely not going to hear. Your like ex hookups girlfriend won't hear, but yeah, it's so ridiculous. So yeah, I can't. Okay. You have to say, I can't say it. I can't. Yeah. The words cannot leave my mouth because the insanity.
Yeah. Lauren, in her infinite wisdom, decided, hey, I'm 4 months pregnant or however months six, pregnant she is, 6 months pregnant.
100, I don't know.
Why not drink? She drank and she drove and her alcohol, blood alcohol content was over the legal limit. And so she's going to be in trouble with the police. And Felicity hears this because, again, it was a fucking curtain, not a soundproof booth.
Yeah.
And so she is just like incensed. And then Lauren like is walking out of the hospital and Felicity's like, ma'am, what are you doing? I don't even know what's happening with Ben yet. Like, where are you going? She's like, gotta go to the impound lot to get my shit.
Okay. Well, this is the craziest thing. I don't understand how there was no repercussions for her or
some handcuffs on this bitch. What are we doing?
Because not only was she driving drunk, which is illegal, of course, but also she was driving drunk and pregnant. So it's also child endangerment.
And there was another person in the car. So like,
so I don't understand how she was able to just like get up and walk away.
No, does the pregnancy just like give you immunity? Like what is happening?
She's like, I got to get to my car because I have a library book that's due tomorrow and I simply must get my stuff.
I love the idea that she was like, oh, I have to get to my car because I'm actually moving to Arizona tomorrow. So I'm not going to ever take responsibility for any of this stuff. I'm just going to leave.
Wait, this is exactly like the time that I drove into the bus and then I went to go pick up my shit from the impound lot. You know what my number one priority was? My Taylor Swift CDs. And then I left for St. Louis like 3 days later. I'm like, bye, people. Like,
there's
see
one
you
way
later.
To get rid of a car. Yeah.
But and so, actually, you know what? It was my fault. The brakes didn't work.
Right.
On the car.
And you definitely had it inspected recently. Anyway. So the thing is then Felicity is like really pissed, obviously, right? Like her boyfriend might die because of Lauren. And she is like incensed. She is over Lauren and she has been bitching to everyone else about Lauren. But finally she's had enough. And she says, you know who I feel sorry for? That baby, because it has you as a mother.
That's god awful.
That is the most hurtful thing I've ever heard Felicity say.
But also, the poor baby probably has like fetal alcohol syndrome.
Exactly. This baby has enough to worry about.
It's enough to worry about. The baby is like not going to be able to count to like three, but fine. I guess start dunking on the mom.
Just ridiculous. And then Lauren eventually does come back and she like apologizes. And Felicity, again, in her infinite wisdom, Lauren says, I'm just going to go find a hotel for the night. All Felicity has to do is just keep that fucking mouth shut. You know, just zip the lips and say nothing. Because you know what? She should go to a fucking hotel. Because guess what? You don't have a connection to her, Felicity. And she did something wrong. Let her just go and get a hotel. Instead, Felicity says, no, you know what? You stay at my place. Why?
Felicity's like sleepover time. She's
insane.
Like, do you want to do the Ouija board? Do you want to do
I'll put your breath in the freezer. This is just like insane.
Yeah. She's like, maybe you and I can tell ghost stories of Ben past, compare like experiences. This was as really stupid as well. I guess she was just trying to be nice, not like she has other shit to worry about. And then, but she does really badly. And then she wakes up and Lauren bounced. Absolutely.
Lauren left.
Bounced.
She pulled a Julie and she was like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'll end up. But thank you, Felicity, for letting me stay at your apartment.
I think that Lauren is pretty much on the run from the cops at this point. That is why
she
wouldn't put it in writing where she's going, because then the cops are going to go after her. She's a woman on the loose.
And here's the other thing. She knows Ben was like, I could go to a lawyer and get that baby. I could go to a lawyer and make you stay in New York. And she's like, shit, now he can go to a lawyer and be like, my pregnant ex-hookup was drunk and driving with our baby in her stomach. Like, she knows she's in big, big trouble if Ben finds her. So she has to get out.
Lauren's about to Gone Girl herself. She's about to dye her hair blonde.
I watched Gone Girl, by the way. I had read the book.
The first time recently?
Well, yes, but I read the book years ago. So I knew the story of it. But yeah, I did watch the movie recently because I was like, I kind of want to see if it's like as good. The book is way, way, way better.
No, the book is better, but I did think that they did a pretty decent job as long as she gets past, like, it's Ben Affleck and he is like Dunkin' Donuts little bitch boy. But
Who isn't Dunkin' Donuts bitch boy, you know? Just saying. Dunkin' Donuts is great. I had a Dunkin' Donuts donut today.
What donut? What's your donut flavor?
My husband got a coffee earlier in the day, and so he brought me home a little sweet treat, and he said it was a new flavor. It was like a creamsicle sort of a thing because it was orange and had like a vanilla frosting drizzle on it. It was pretty good.
Oh, okay. Very
nice. Light and refreshing. You know what I mean? Very summery.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, and then Rosamund Pike, she did a good job.
Yeah. So funny because, okay, so your favorite show, Wheelies, The Wheel of Time.
I love Wheelies. Yeah.
Love Wheelies. I didn't realize it was the same actor. And so we watched Gone Girl and we were already watching The Wheel of Time. Then we went back to The Wheel of Time and I was like, oh my God, that lady looks just like the girl from Gone Girl. And he was like, that's because it is.
Wow.
She looks very different in my defense with like darker hair. Like I feel like it totally changes her vibe.
Yeah. But, well,
yeah. Anyway,
Lauren's going to do the same thing. She is going to change her name. She's going to get out of Dodge. We'll never see her again. She's on the run. But in reality, she's just going to go to Arizona. The police will find her very easily. But that's
if they look for her.
They're like, it's not worth it.
It's New York City, baby. We got shit to do.
They're like, do you know what's going on? We have 1,000 crimes a day. Our crossover show is SVU. We have so much shit to do. Special victims unit.
People are getting assaulted.
Yeah.
Now, I guess let's make some predictions here because we might as well. So Lauren has fled the state. We don't know where she is.
Yeah.
Is Ben going to attempt to seek her out, attempt to stay in baby's life? How is this going to work?
I hope so, because if we just yada yada this and be like, okay, like,
oopsie, she's gone, mind,
then I would be so annoyed. It's like, why did we go through this? Like, what's the point? And the way that this season is going so far, I can only imagine that that's where we wind up. Just be like, ooh, okay, bye. See you later.
Are you ready for my prediction on what's going to happen?
Yeah, lay it on me.
Ben is going to attempt to find her, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that we're coming up on the Oopsie Daisy finale of not a real finale.
Okay, Ben is going to real finale, but then something happened and they say we need more finale.
Yes, I think in the Oopsie Daisy finale, what's going to happen is Ben is going to still be trying to find her. She's going to reach out to Ben and be like, I need serious help. And this is, we're going to like flash forward. So she's going to like have the baby. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to be like, I'm fucked. Like, I need to go to rehab. I need to like get my shit sorted out. Mm-hmm. Here's the baby. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get like custody of the baby temporarily while she sorts her stuff out.
Yes.
And then we'll probably do a flash forward, knowing this show. And then we'll get to see mini Ben and all his mininess.
And they're going to play basketball like nonstop.
Oh, they're definitely going to play basketball.
Yeah. Do you think that Sean, Noel, and Ben should do Three Men and a Baby.
Number one, I don't think Sean should be allowed anywhere near the baby because I feel like he would invent something that would seriously maim a child. Mm-hmm. Noel, I think, would be good with kids.
Noel was ready to, he was like, sign me up to be a father, actually.
He'd be the best father of the bunch.
I think so. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Ben really likes to play basketball.
Yes.
Oh, and also, right. Don't you love the continuation in two episodes about Ben's big brother, little brother program? Love how we got into that just to never mention that again.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's finish out by talking about Felicity and the plagiarism storyline, where she has absolutely no consequences for her actions, essentially.
Nobody does.
At least not yet. Not yet.
So we do a couple of back and forths about like she almost misses the meeting. She doesn't miss the meeting. She winds up going because they couldn't reschedule it. It got pushed forward instead of back, blah, 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 blah. She is about to go in and she finally, right before she goes in, confesses to Jane Lynch. And Jane Lynch is like, you are a stupid fucking bitch. I am embarrassed and you should be too.
Yeah, I stood up for you, bitch. Like you had 20,000 opportunities to tell me about this and you didn't. And so she's like, and she does the parent thing where it's like, oh, you stole a piece of gum. Well, you have to bring it back to the register and tell them what you did. Oh,
no, I had to do that. I think I've told this story.
Yeah.
You'll never guess what I stole.
It was like a lip gloss or something, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, no. Nail polish? What was it?
No, it's a even candy? More on brand. No, it was a tomato. I stole a tomato from the salad bar and my dad made me go literally up and talk to the manager about.
Stole a tomato?
Indeed, I did.
What's wrong with you?
I just really like fucking tomatoes. Oh my God. I just really like tomatoes. And he made me go up to the manager and confess.
I've never stolen, but that's because I have anxiety.
I've stolen so many tomatoes in my day.
I would be so terrified of getting caught. I shouldn't say that. I've stolen by accident before, but I've never intentionally stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoplifting is terrible. Would never do such a thing.
Felicity has to go tell the board and then we'll find out, I guess, next episode, like what the what her punishment is going to be, but like probably nothing.
I can't believe that we didn't even get to see the board meeting.
After all the talk, full episodes of chatter about this. Yeah,
I was
meeting.
Pretty infuriated by that. I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? We're just going to skip right over it."
Yep,
it was so stupid, so insane, and we end the episode. And yeah, we don't know if or what the consequences.
Yeah,
are because we're too busy with like Ben waking up from his.
We don't even know what the fuck happened. We're like, he lost a lot of blood. Where? How? What happened? He just lost blood. That's it. That's all we know.
Yeah, we don't know if he broke a bone. We don't know anything.
No idea. No.
It's so stupid.
It is stupid.
I hate it. I hate it all. I just don't really understand what we're doing, honestly.
Nope. But let's give out some points if we want. Maybe people won't earn them. We'll see. The paper chase, the first episode that we talked about.
No.
Definitely not Felicity because she plagiarized. Megan gives super shitty advice. So definitely not her. Sean is actually the worst. Noel.
It's Noel.
Yeah, Noel's the only one who isn't like horribly offensively awful.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, good friend.
The second episode.
Oh boy.
I think I would like to put forth Elena for punching Richard in the face.
Sure.
Because who else would earn it this episode? Literally no one.
I mean, Ben for trying, but
Ben for living?
For living. I meant like trying with Lauren, but he
was
honestly,
in a coma the whole episode.
He was in a coma the entire episode. Yeah.
That's the bar we have, people. That's the bar we have right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some of our feedback here. We did get a voicemail from Temi this week, so let's hear what he has to say. Probably only about the first episode because he probably didn't know we were gonna watch the second.
Hi, ladies. Great job as always last week. Excellent swearing. Sean, he provides the comic relief on this show, kind of like Steve Urkel and Kimmy Gibbler did. Sean's even an inventor like Steve, where Urkel's inventions also drove the plot.
Oh, yeah.
Inventions like the personality changer machine that turned him into Stefan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Side note, you had a feedback contributor for Dawson's Creek named Stefan.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. And how does Sean have the loft? Going back to Urkel and Gibbler, it's one thing to be a kid neighbor. It's another to be a young man owning a loft inexplicably.
Yeah.
The neighbor role is mysterious because the character is usually an afterthought. With success of the neighbor role, you get more details and explanations, mentions of parents that you never see in Gibbler's and Urkel's case. The only neighbors that are fleshed out at the start that come to mind for me are Feeny and Stan Beeman from The Americans, because they were conceived as main characters from the start. If you will, Chang is a neighbor to the steady group of community as he wants to join Badly in season two. Like other neighbors, he changes in his case from authority to pathetic, then to pathetic authority.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite neighbor from TV? Mr. Rogers, Wilson from Home Improvement?
Yeah, that's
Those are examples that I also thought of. And going back to the idea of details and explanations of things that you don't have as a viewer, sometimes these details and explanations are in something called the show Bible that was mentioned mm-hmm. on the podcast mm-hmm. Office mm-hmm. Ladies. It seems like Jenna Fisher as
Pam Beasley,
when she was her character Pam Beasley, would use a show Bible to kind of figure things out. Thanks. Bye.
Favorite neighbor, Sarah?
I'm going to give you a Winnie Cooper from that show. From The Wonder Years, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have a couple. I have Mr. Heckles from Friends downstairs.
Yeah. Heckles, yeah.
Iconic. Mm-hmm. Ugly Naked Guy, I guess technically is also a neighbor.
Yep. Across the way, of course.
Across the way. And then I had another one in my head that I've already forgotten what it was. I do like a neighbor role. I think fun. Like, I think that one of the more famous ones is probably Kramer in Seinfeld. I've never done like a full watch of Seinfeld, so I can't really speak on that. Oh, the other character I was thinking of, which I know is a blind spot for you, Sarah, which I think eventually you probably will watch, knowing that your husband is most likely going to podcast about it. But mm-hmm. there is a character named Babette in Gilmore Girls.
Babette.
And she is very fun. She's iconic for her voice and just the way she acts. Mm-hmm. So she's a very fun neighbor too.
Yeah. I definitely thought of Wilson as well from mm-hmm. Home Improvement as like a neighbor character. It's so infamous because like, did we ever, I think we eventually.
You don't see his face. He just is.
I think eventually we did.
Probably. Yeah, those are like the big ones I can think of. I'm sure if I had more time, I'd be able to come up with some others. But yeah, I love a neighbor character. I was never a big Kimmy Gibbler fan on Full House. But
she just dragged DJ into too much shit.
Yeah, she's just fucking irritating. It's like, go stay in your house, lady. Like, get out of here.
She will not and did not. I believe.
Even as a kid, I was like, get off my lawn, please. Like, go home. All right, let's hear what DBK has to say about this episode.
What up, though, ladies? The Paper Chase. Another probably meh episode for you guys that you're just like, what are we doing here? Where are we going? I can't believe next week is the penultimate episode to the finale. Like, sure, let's give Rita some screen time. Why not? We're not doing anything mm-hmm. else, right? Obviously, we should give Megan the point this week because just Megan is outstanding this episode. I mean, she gives Felicity this bad idea, but then like just her friendship with Felicity is so funny and like that she's actually worried that they won't stay in touch and like good stuff for Megan all around this episode. That's like the best part of it. I'd be interested to see what you guys talk about this week. And yeah, that's it for this week. Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
I do like Megan saying like she would miss Felicity. Like I did like that part of the relationship and the scene.
Yeah.
But Megan gave such bad advice. It was like, and it kept getting worse.
Yeah.
Earl. Yeah. His name is Earl.
Who? Megan's friend Earl.
Oh. I thought we were going back to the neighbor question. And I was like, there's a neighbor named Earl?
No. His name is Earl.
That's funny because there's that show, My Name is Earl. Got even more confused.
I don't know Earl.
That's him. That's the Earl.
Okay, now I know.
A DBK sent in a second voicemail, so I'm going to play it. I have no idea what this is. I have not pre-listened to this, so we'll see what it is.
Oh, yeah, and also, sorry, not brain, braid, braid. Like,
braid.
Like the hair thingy. She has, like, the one little braid.
Oh, yes.
She puts in her hair this season. It's like her artist braid in my brain.
Oh, Megan?
Yeah.
No, Felicity.
That was not okay. That's what I said.
Oh. Okay, so last week, DBK said, like, something about liking or disliking Felicity's braid.
Oh, we thought he said brain.
Brain. And we were like, brain?
Huh?
My brain. And we were like, is it because she's, like, being stupid or, like, what?
Yeah.
Or
listen, I am notoriously a big fan of braids, but Felicity's hair this season is it's insulting to me. I just can't.
Or maybe DBK said that he liked the braid / brain. I don't know.
Well, DBK, why don't you just give us the lowdown on if you like braids at all?
Yeah,
I'm not going to not do braids if you say you don't like them, but I will have you know I have braids in today.
Adam says that he thinks like braids are the ugliest fucking thing. Whenever he sees people with braids, he like, and then when I do braids, or like, you know, I was working on learning how to do like a French braid. He was just like, why are you doing that to your hair? Ew. So he's not a fan.
Will, what do you think of braids? Braids with a D, yeah. Cool. He said, cool.
What about brains?
What about brains? Gross. These are Will's thoughts.
Cool. Braids, cool. Brains, gross.
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 Yeah. That's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's all the feedback we have. Apology. We are recording early this week, just so everyone knows, if in case you send in feedback and we didn't get to it in time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're off next week. I'm traveling, so I won't be around, but then we'll be back and we'll have a special guest to talk about the next episode, which is the fake finale, right? The first finale. Can you imagine if the finale was actually dedicated to, like, will Felicity get kicked out of school for plagiarizing? What a fucking shit show. What a dumbass finale that'd be. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, what's the episode called?
The Graduate.
Right. It sounds like she's
like a spoiler.
Yeah. I know. I've seen like a preview picture and she does have a cap and gown, but maybe it'll be very dramatic and like they'll call her name Felicity Porter and she'll go up and she's like, Felicity Porter is not getting a diploma because she's a fucking cheater. And it's
can only hope something as entertaining as that happens.
Yeah.
So that will be 2 weeks from now. Don't forget, people, we are barreling towards the end of this show. We're going to be done by mid-August, baby. So hopefully you'll still stay tuned, even though we are very down on the show, but it's not our fault. It sucks. Okay. So, in the meantime, check out everything we have going on. ShitNotiesPod.com. We're still covering Buffy season 4, which is leaps and bounds better than Felicity season 4. Yeah. Sarah, anything else you want to tell the people about?
No, I got nothing.
Okie doke. Well, that's all for us. So until next time, everyone, have a good one. Goodbye.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge.
So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.